Good day. I am Apostle Matthew Buerta, and I am a part of the Restored Government of God. Today is the 9th of September, 2020, and my teaching today will be on Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you, to me indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. From the second 8-week term's glossary, to rejoice in the Lord means to continue to build on the things of Christ in which we take great delight. The foundation knowledge of Jesus Christ is what we build faith upon. Knowledge provides a framework for activity, just as the practice of economics requires a framework of knowledge, and the practice of medicine requires a framework of knowledge, so also the practice of faith requires a framework of knowledge. Every framework of knowledge provides laws or rules for an activity to build upon to ensure proper conduct, productivity, and to ensure that those practices and the end results meet certain standards and expectations. God, through the knowledge of His truth, provides the law of the Spirit to govern the practice of faith under the Second Covenant. To ensure that the building of our faith remains on course with His righteousness, ensuring proper conduct within His holy priesthood, and that the substance birthed of our labor carries the fullness of Christ. Through apostolic stewardship, the saints are continually put in remembrance of the covenant of Jesus Christ. All things needed to meet the criteria God set in Jesus Christ for faith, holiness, and godliness is achieved every time we resource these sanctified things. Once we come into Christ, there is no need to seek out new knowledge for faith, neither new practices for faith. The boundaries of the priesthood of the Second Covenant have not and will not alter. Jesus Christ remains the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. What God has provided in the expression of His love towards us is entire, perfect, lacking nothing and needing nothing to be added. Satan would suggest to the imagination working with the God code and aspiration that we need to make our expression of love towards God grander, redirecting the focus from Christ onto self. To perceive worship in light of the emotion being stirred up and elevated, rather than in light of what God has commanded in Christ Jesus. Those outside of the covenant of Jesus Christ struggle against the defiled conscience and are therefore looped in needing to renew their efforts of worship towards God, because the present system in which they practice their faith restricts them from meeting God's righteousness. Those in the covenant of Jesus Christ lack nothing in terms of serving God lawfully. Their practice of faith always measures up to God's righteousness, for they resource the things that represent Jesus Christ, and by this their conscience is washed daily. The oversight of God's spiritual government ensures to protect the saints against such destructive suggestions. For this reason, Apostle Paul is keeping the saints at Philippi in remembrance that they must continue to build faith with the record of Jesus Christ. For within this framework of faith, faith is perfect because faith reflects Jesus Christ. God takes delight in Christ, not the things men delight in. So faith cannot be pleasing to God when set within a framework determined by the measures of the flesh. On to verse 2. Beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. In saying beware, Apostle Paul is not admonishing the saints to be suspicious, but rather to exercise discernment. Truth equals the anointing equals discernment. Truth is the knowledge that contains facts consistent with God's character, purpose, and plan. Our labor with this knowledge is exercising ourselves with the anointing, allowing us to weigh Satan's counsel against God's commandments, to discern good and evil from the perspective of God's throne, to discern between the righteousness of God and the righteousness of man. People may quote scriptures to present their idols in a manner that seems right, and to try passing that off as being the righteousness of God. But it is not the righteousness of God, for it does not mirror Jesus Christ. God equips us with His knowledge in place of the moral code to enable us to rightly discern between what is of the flesh and what is of the Spirit. the Jews and those that introduced the doctrine of the Nicolaitans in the first 8 week spoke and quoted things that were true, those things commanded through Moses, and those things written in the scriptures, but spoke not in truth, being out of step with the present week and covenant that God had initiated through Jesus Christ. This sort of counsel may have sounded correct to the scale of the moral code, but it was out of step with God's will, which would only overthrow faith in Jesus Christ and therefore put faith into a state of crisis. So, in saying beware, Apostle Paul was saying, exercise your discernment by that knowledge which I have instructed you in, and which I continue to put you in remembrance of, because there are those who seek to overthrow your faith in God by redirecting it to the idols of the heart, thinking they are speaking for God. Their religious convictions make them feel like they are sincere and noble in their efforts to redirect your faith, but they do not speak in truth, and so these speak that which is evil, for they preach a gospel that the Spirit will not give witness to, and therefore is void of grace, leaving the heart void of faith. On to verse 3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. We are the circumcision, we who are in the covenant of Jesus Christ, keeping his commandments, are the true Jew inwardly. We are his people, chosen to salvation by way of the new and better covenant. Apostle Paul here is bringing to the attention of the saints that it is not those in Christ that need to be corrected by those still preaching Moses, but rather those still following after Moses need to be redirected to Christ. That covenant through Moses is no longer sanctified. The people of God are now those who look to Jesus Christ to express their faith and love towards God, which worship God in spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. The true Jew serves God with the invisible tokens, building and bonding with him within the priesthood that is after the order of Melchizedek, and resource nothing that was introduced for faith through Abraham, Moses, or David. The confidence of our faith is tied to the things of Jesus Christ. Verses 4 to 10. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he has whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. So, circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Apostle Paul recounts the credentials he held while practicing faith under the first covenant. Within this framework, he was deemed a righteous man by man. But because Jesus Christ had established the second covenant, under the first, his faith fell short of God's righteousness. It was by grace that he received the revelation of Christ and was given a heart to perceive Christ, to abandon the old by embracing the new. We cannot look to Moses, but say we are serving Christ. The first covenant had its place in the plan of God, and it was fulfilled. But the second covenant is the fullness of God's promise to Adam of salvation. In verse 9, Apostle Paul identifies where the righteousness of God is set and how it is measured up to. But that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God. The faith speaks of the doctrine. The doctrine of Jesus Christ is the compiled knowledge of his truth which contains the commandments of his covenant. The doctrine of Jesus Christ is made known through the apostle's office and is therefore also referred to as the apostle's doctrine, as we read in Acts 2 verse 42. Commandments speak of an ordered activity. So the righteousness of God is set in Jesus Christ, and by his holy knowledge, through his sanctified stewardship, the righteousness of God is made known. The righteousness of God by faith. Faith is obedience and belief. Obedience is to observe and to do the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Belief is to acknowledge, mold with, and to submit to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So when the activity of faith is tied to the ordered activity of the second covenant, then our demonstration of obedience and belief towards God meets his standard and expectation, whereby he declares us righteous. That I may know him. We know God through the fruit that he forms within our soul, that which is the likeness of Christ. We can know God when the activity of our faith is in accordance with his righteousness. The power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings being made conformable unto his death. When the activity of our faith is directed by the knowledge of Jesus Christ, then we follow these patterns: grace and suffering, revelation, resistance and reward, the death and resurrection, the witness and the record. There is a dying that takes place when choosing to follow the divine works over the natural instincts, but it results in new life taking form in the soul by the work of the Spirit. When faith works in accordance with the righteousness of man, godliness is absent. But when faith works in accordance with the righteousness of God, we glorify him. Thank you for listening. Again, this is Apostle Matthew Buerter. If you would like to learn more about God's restored government or how to transition into covenant, please reach out to me on our website at www.s8w.org.